You're listening to the God Guns Liberty Podcast with JC Hall.
Welcome, everyone, to the God Guns Liberty Podcast. I am J.C. Hall, saying hello to you, checking in, touching base with you, seeing what's going on. How's it going out there? Hoping everybody is safe and doing well, enjoyed their holidays. Always lots going on in the world. Seems like stuff's crazy, unreal. Where to find sanity in this world. And haven't been with you for a while. Thought I'd jump on here and we're going to start being live on Saturdays. Every Saturday at 11 a.m. we'll be broadcasting. So that'll be the format going forward as we get back into things. Still gearing up toward the election. Some people are paying attention to that. Got all the usual suspects out there. People trying to figure out who to choose from. If there are any choices, if they're just really one candidate. And whether or not he's going to go to prison, I guess is what people are trying to figure out. And it seems to me the rest are just hoping he gets locked up and then you get to choose from one of them in the GOP. Or you're stuck with the zombie in chief, who doesn't know where he's at half the time, and whoever they're going to replace him with, Kamala Harris or the guy from California. We'll see. So, anyway, here we are. Ron DeSantis, interesting tweet from Ron DeSantis. Wednesday, today. Said after Donald Trump spoke with Mark Fisher from Rhode Island, who is a leader of the Rhode Island chapter of BLM, said he spoke with Mark Fisher yesterday. Great guy. Very honored to have his and BLM's support. And I assume that means that particular chapter of BLM in Rhode Island. Obviously, the entire BLM edifice does not support Donald Trump. In fact, you can see a lot of the attacks from all the BLM, other BLM chapters, and what a sellout, and this guy is a, all sorts of names that they come up with. And Trump says, I've done more for black people than any other president, maybe Lincoln, including 10-year funding for historically black colleges, universities where they had none, opportunity zones, criminal justice reform, and much more. Thank you, Mark. And, of course, those claims are accurate with what Trump did while he was in office. But DeSantis says, BLM praising Donald Trump and Trump celebrating. It makes perfect sense. When BLM was burning down cities and assaulting police officers in cities across this country, Trump did nothing but sit in the White House tweeting law and order. When we did it differently in Florida, I didn't just tweet. I took action and called up the National Guard. We were not going to let our cities burn. As president, I will not sit idly by and watch rioters torch American cities. Most of that claims pretty well true. I don't know what effect DeSantis' actions had in the midst of that. People don't understand about Florida. Florida's a mostly a home rule state. And just like we saw in COVID, a lot of the localities in Florida, do whatever they do regardless of what the governor says. Because of the home rule fight that they have, when things started happening with education, and DeSantis did some things, and then you had all these different school boards and municipalities saying, he doesn't have power to do this. We run our own things, all this sort of stuff. So why do I say that? Because, we were here in Hillsborough County, and what BLM did, really was on. The sheriff, what is the sheriff going to do about it? And the governor and National Guard and whatever else he did seemed to have little impact in Hillsborough County because we had a BLM group that literally tore the gate going up in what's known as the Sallyport entrance, ripped that off the jail, like literally attacked the jail and ripped it off the hinges and all this sort of stuff. And our local sheriff really didn't do anything about it. That's Sheriff Chad Cronister. So, you know, he allowed BLM to do some things. Now they did, you know, they did intervene in one instance when they went crazy at one of the local malls. But nevertheless, there was never any National Guard on the scene that I'm aware of or any impact that DeSantis had in this county, though he may have done that. And I'm not saying he didn't or that, you know, what I'm saying is it doesn't matter when if your local officials just do whatever they want, don't support the rule of law. So, yeah, it's good to have a governor stand up and support the rule of law. But unfortunately, sometimes that's not enough. And the president, of course, I mean, how much less the president, whatever Trump may have done or not done, whatever DeSantis says he will do or won't do. Again, if your local government is just rogue and lawless and doing whatever, really, what does it matter what the president says? What does it matter what the governor says, to be honest with you? I don't know, but just a thought. Anyway, back to the BLM guy. This is a guy, the leader of state chapter of Rhode Island, Mark Fisher, who has basically criticized the BLM movement for a little while now kind of came to his senses and, began seeing all the problems and all the hypocrisy it's basically kind of, I mean, he keeps the chapter that he runs there, but kind of has turned his back on the radicalism of BLM. So it's kind of interesting. It's actually sad in with these responses, the sort of tribalism in the parties, where that here you have a guy that was BLM who's come to his senses, and instead of reaching out, with this guy as an ally, it looks like Team DeSantis is not taking that opportunity. It's just a chance to attack Trump. So maybe a missed opportunity there. But anyway, it's all about your opponent at this point in the political races, I guess. So it is what it is. But apparently the guy doesn't support DeSantis; he just supports Trump. So there you go. Here's an interesting one. Another Trump supporter, Home Depot founder, says he'll fund Trump even if he gets convicted. And by the way, if Trump's convicted, doesn't necessarily mean he can't run. You had some judge say, in the midst of these other things, make some comment that Trump was guilty of insurrection, right? That's such a judge saying that. Trump's never been convicted of insurrection. So people are all saying the judge said he committed insurrection, so therefore he can't run. It doesn't matter what the judge said. What's the adjudication legally in any case? Has Trump been tried and convicted of insurrection against the United States? No. So that's nonsense. So you could potentially see, I mean, outside of the guy going to prison, which is unlikely, it'd be some civil thing. He gets fined. Who knows what? I don't see Trump going to prison. But so you could still see Trump, lose some of these cases or whatever. And it wouldn't matter. He could still run for president. And this guy says he's still going to fund him no matter what. Of course, it'd be interesting. You could see Trump go to prison and people still vote for him and elect him while he's in prison. Who knows? So there you go. I mean, it seems to me that no matter what any side says, and by the way, I'm not gung-ho for anybody in particular. I kind of lean toward Trump seems, you know, things, the system still needs to be smashed, needs to be shaken up. Trump seems like the guy to do that. Go ahead and finish what you got started with. But at the end of the day, I just don't know that it matters, except to the, you know, who on the GOP side in general gets in. I don't know how much it matters, aside from getting relief from the policies of this present administration. I think probably several candidates from the GOP, other than Chris Christie and Nikki Haley, right? Take those two aside, because Christie's an idiot and a warmonger, and Nikki Haley's probably the biggest warmonger that I recall in my lifetime, or, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe in history. I really don't know. But she's an incredibly bloodthirsty warmonger. I think she'd probably nuke every country on the planet if she could get the green light to do that. Or maybe not nuke them. She'd probably invade every planet on the country, because she wants to keep that revenue stream for her handlers at the in the defense industry. So I think she would do that. So aside from those two, you know, and then obviously Ramaswamy's got all these questions about his ties and his past, the pharmaceutical fortunes, his money with George Soros, and you know, and then there are rebuttals to that, and then who knows? Some think, you know, is this guy a con man? Is he just talk a good game? So a lot of people are uncertain about Ramaswamy, because he has all these questions, and he always has, you know, the picture perfect answers to everything, and some say maybe they're too perfect. But anyway, I think any of them would probably take a different course, would undoubtedly take a different course economically and in some of the big policies. So I think any of them, aside from Christie and Haley, would be relief, would give relief to people from the consequences of this current administration. But at the end of the day, it's not like the leftists it's not like the leftists are just going to roll over. They're not going to just, you know, they're not going to quit. You elected Trump. We changed our mind on everything, and we're just going to be nice to conservatives. We're going to stop trying to target children and, you know, the church and destroy America, because you elected DeSantis, you elected Trump, you elected Ramaswamy, so we all quit. I don't get this. I don't get so wound up about the president, because the president's not going to save America. I don't know. I don't care who he is. Right. Again, I'm not saying it's not important. And as I said, most any of them would be better than what we have, and you would get some relief from these policies. But if you think a president's going to fix everything that's wrong with America, you're going to be in for a shock for quite some time. So it is what it is. But pick who you think's best. Vote for who you think's best. I think any of them at this point would be better than the rest to a great degree. But yet they all have their issues and problems. Well, here's a tweet from Libs TikTok on X. If it's not Twitter anymore, are they still called tweets? I mean, what are they now? A Twitter tweeted. What does an X do? I don't know. But anyway, here's a post from Libs of TikTok. Police in Ireland have declared the term Irish Lives Matter is racist, and it's now being considered a hate crime. So BBC News reports an anti-immigration signage in West Belfast is being treated as a hate incident, police say. So they're investigating someone spray painting the words Irish Lives Matter on what looks like a wall or some sort of barrier, fence, something, Irish Lives Matter in spray paint. And that is being investigated as a hate incident. I don't know what that means in Ireland, hate incident. Here in the United States, you hear people say, that's a hate crime. There's actually no such thing as a hate crime within the law of the United States of America. These things you hear referred to as hate crimes are actually sentence enhancements. So you have to be convicted of some, you know, actual crime, some other crime, like you murdered somebody, you beat somebody up, you know, assault or whatever, battery, and then you can be given sentence enhancements if it's found that your actions were motivated by race, right? You did it because of the race of the victim, then it means, you know, some longer sentence is tacked on, right? Your sentence is lengthened, right? So there's not an actual, you're not actually charged with hate crime. That's hate crime is not a crime. That's a sentence enhancement in the United States. So I don't know, it could be a crime in other countries. I'm not certain about that. But that's apparently how they're treating it in Ireland. Well, here's Vivek, here's Ramaswamy tweeting. America now has a two-tier justice system. Antifa and BLM rioters roam free while peaceful January 6 protesters are in prison without bail. Biden's Department of Injustice has executed over 1,000 arrests for nonviolent offenses related to January 6, casting a dark shadow over Lady Justice and the foundational principles of our legal system. To unify this country, I commit as president to pardon all Americans who were targets of politicized federal prosecutions and those denied due process. This includes all peaceful, nonviolent January 6 protesters who were denied their constitutional due process rights. I will end the weaponization of police power in America. Every Republican candidate must be clear about where we stand on the hard issues. This is Vivek Ramaswamy. So basically saying he would pardon nonviolent January 6 protesters, which is good. So I think this is a good thing, and he's right about this assessment. Now, this statement, I will end the weaponization of police power in America. Now, I assume he's talking about the federal, well, he can only be talking about federal level weaponization. I don't know what, unless he's saying he's going to get Congress to pass a law about some things like this that would manifest themselves at the state level by, I don't know, sheriffs, highway patrol, state attorneys, district attorneys, they call them in other places. I'm not sure what he means by that. But it's one of those things, again, presidents and presidential candidates speak in these very broad terms. And, of course, Americans eat it up because they don't understand, you know, jurisdiction. They don't understand separation of powers between state and federal government. So candidates like this make these sweeping statements. I will end the weaponization of police power in America. I don't know if the president has the ability to do that, you know, broadly, like totally end. I don't know. But I'd be very happy if Vivek or any future president would gut the FBI, the ATF, and many of these weaponized agencies. The U.S. Marshals Service, I don't know if you heard this recently, but the U.S. Marshals Service has said that they've completely stopped for the last, I think, 2 to 3 years, completely abandoned their mission of attempting to monitor, you know, potential terrorists or anything like that. They've basically been trailing anyone who came into the Washington, D.C. area on January 6th. They followed some guys on the list they're following who came into Washington, D.C. for his father's funeral. And he's been followed in the airports of America for about 2 years. So it's said that some people know that they're on the list and some people don't. So there are U.S. Marshals following people all the time, every day, for the last couple of years, who were in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. So you talk about the weaponization, political weaponization of federal law enforcement. I'd love to see any president deal with that. The thing is rotten at the core, completely rotten, completely corrupted. So FBI needs to be gutted. ATF needs to be gutted. U.S. Marshals Service needs to be gutted, and many of these other agencies that you don't even realize, carry out law enforcement functions as sort of paramilitary forces, you know, like IRS and various things that you don't even think of as law enforcement, are engaged in this sort of activity. So the entire federal government is absolutely black at it. I mean, just a black heart, rotten heart, rotten soul, a black hole of a soul, just completely, completely broken, completely corrupt, through and through, top to bottom. So it'd be a good start. I don't know if you could fix the thing, but it certainly would be a good start to deal with some of these agencies. I mean, if I were president, or if I were king, I mean, I'd just get rid of them. Boom, done. They don't really have constitutional authorization. They don't have a proper function the way they operate. So I'd get rid of them, period. Boom, you're gone. You're all fired, every one of you. The states can take care of crime within their states. If you want to have some police force that deals with federal matters within D.C.'s territory, knock yourself out. Outside of that, mind your own business. And I would shut them all down. That'd be me. So here's an interesting here's another one. I think my tweet disappeared. Let's see if I can find it. Nope, that one's not there. Let me throw this one up real quick. All my tweets vanished. So let me throw this one up real quick. See if I can find one. We have, give me one second. Where did we go? Let's look at this guy right here. Let's try that one. Let's get rid of Ramaswamy. Here's a tweet, Thomas Massie. So apparently a resolution was put forth that included all these things in relation to Israel. And what was it called? Reaffirming the State of Israel's Right to Exist. So that was the title, Reaffirming Israel's Right to Exist. But it had a whole list of things that you were signing on to. And Thomas Massie said, I agree with the title, Reaffirming the State of Israel's Right to Exist, and much of the language, but I'm voting no. So he was the lone Republican to vote no, which has happened several times in response to Israel and layouts, financial layouts to foreign countries, involvement in foreign wars. He's pretty consistently on the no side for these things. He said, but I'm voting no on the resolution because it equates anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is deplorable, he says, but expanding it to include criticism of Israel is not helpful. So they're defining anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism as the same thing. So they're giving them the same definition. And so, you know, you can be talking about anti-Zionism, which is focused on. So Zionism is a pretty deep and complex topic. I encourage everyone to research it from a historical perspective, but essentially has to do with the rise of the movement in the early 1900s to reestablish a homeland for what they called the diaspora. So Jewish believers all over the planet wanted their own homeland, saying, you know, they were historically in this place since King David's kingdom, and they were forcefully booted out by the Romans and then others, and so they wanted to go, and they were being obviously persecuted and killed all over the planet at that time, so, you know, that part's certainly understandable, and requested the Sultan of the Ottoman Empire if they could begin moving back. And he said, yeah, no problem, come on back. And then that slowly evolved into a more formalized establishment of literally a Jewish functioning state, not just Jews settling back in the land, but the establishment of you know, the what became the government of Israel. And after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, you know, all of that basically swung into motion with the mandate for Palestine, and you had the basically the creation of all of these different countries, creation of Saudi Arabia, creation of Iraq, and all these, you know, countries that were invented in the Middle East after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. And, you know, part of that involved the mandate for Palestine and establishment of the nation of Israel as we know it today. And, you know, so that's anti-Zionism of saying, you know, people who are saying we're against, you know, that whole thing of the settlement and the way that happened. And then it goes into, you know, some of the sort of stakeholders and interested parties driving that issue and supporting the issue and the funders and all this sort of stuff. So then people will kind of speak out against that process and the manipulation that they see from these individuals and the control over various things by these individuals. And, you know, some of it obviously can veer into a racial element, but pure anti-Semitism would be, you know, a hatred of the Jews no matter what. It would just could be separate from the settlement issue and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's one of those things where you can debate and you can split hairs, but I think to say definition-wise they are one and the same thing, well that's not true. They're not the same thing per se, but then you can certainly have a debate about, you know, the different thing, anti-Zionism. Is it anti-Semitic, right? They're not the same thing, right? But is the one thing anti-Semitic? And then that's a debate, right? Then you go into the speech realm of people hashing this out and disagreeing. Some say yes, some say no. So I think that's where Massey's coming from, as far as now you're getting into this sort of speech issue. Obviously, clear anti-Semitism, where just because of, you know, these people's race, we want to kill them, we want to drive them out, you know, because of their race. I think Massey's saying, yeah, that's really clear. But now you're moving in this gray area of speech, and I'm not gonna, you know, I can't agree with that. So I think, as I hear him, that's his perspective. Now, you have to decide whether you agree with him on that or not. Some would say, well, you know, if you're anti-Zionist, that means you don't want a home for Jewish people, you know, and you're okay with anybody else having a home, but somehow the Jews are different. They don't deserve a home. Are you going to erase Iraq, since Iraq was an invention by those who defeated the Ottoman Empire? Are you going to erase the invention of Saudi Arabia that was, you know, pretty much created at the same time? You know, why don't you call for that, but yet you call for the elimination of this, you know, the country we know as Israel? So clearly anti-Zionism is anti-Semitic. So some people would take that side. So it's one of those arguments, right? Is it right then to use the power of government to settle that argument, so that now you can't have this debate, you can't have this conversation, you can't question this, you can't criticize, you can't say this? So that's the crazy thing, when you start throwing all this stuff and you're talking about now we're putting the power of the United States government behind it in the form of a resolution. So, you know, to me, this is the sticky part of this, and I can see, you know, Massey's point of view when you get into that. So, and is anything like that when you start talking about racism? Or, you know, we want to start putting this in legislation related to what you say. That, I mean, what does this mean? What is the next step? And who decides what category your speech is in? What your criticism, your argument, your description is? What I just said about these historical events, is that anti-Zionism? Therefore, I'm anti-Semitic. I mean, would I be now? I'm guilty under this resolution. So, you know, I think to step outside of, and this is the problem. People get all emotional about, you know, the Jewish element, the anti-Semitic element, you know, the sort of inside of this. But if you step back from the topical content and just think about now, you're talking about things that people say, things that people think, the speech, and you've broadened it out in this resolution of thought and expression. I mean, if there's literally an attack on someone, right, to protect life and property, clearly that's the realm of our representative government. If we've said that's their function. But I don't know if I can attack Massey too hard of seeing this thing now move into the realm of expression and thought, right? So he's the lone guy, the lone Republican, which kind of tells you, and I imagine, you know, a lot of conservatives out there probably going to be, you know, on the side of, you know, all the other voters, and you should vote for this, because let's face it, a majority of the conservatives are not very discerning about these issues and get whipped into a frenzy about, you know, I stand with Israel and, you know, back to blue and all these sort of emotional trigger points. And, you know, it's this topic, anti-Zionism one day. What's the next top? What's the next thing you can't talk about that the federal government is going to stand up and say, you can't have this frowned upon opinion. You can't talk about this realm of history. I mean, if I began to describe the history of the rise of the Third Reich, you know, when we have a resolution saying, you know, we condemn Nazism, da 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 da, and this, you know, we condemn whatever. So I talk about the history of the Zionist movement. I'm anti-Zionist. I talk about the history of the rise of Hitler. I'm a Nazi. I mean, where does this stuff end? So it's an interesting time we live in with, you know, there's a war going on, people are dying, and so people are emotional about this. It has a religious attachment. This is when the government is most dangerous, and this is when a majority of people are willing, to let the government, you know, yeah, rah, rah, that's right. You know, you pick a side and you're fine. We're pro-Palestinian. We're pro-Israel. Da, 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 da. And then this opens the door for the government to just start making these resolutions and laws and doing whatever. And nobody calms down, takes the time and thinks about, well, what is the real implication of this? What does this touch upon? This is a lot bigger than the Jews and Hamas and Gaza and whatever else. So it's kind of sad. I mean, ballsy for Massey in the midst of this fervor to take a stand like that. I mean, everybody and their brothers calling him anti-Semite, scumbag, low life, you know, worthless, blah 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 blah. Nobody wants to talk about the implications of free speech and expression and how, you know, the attacks on your First Amendment liberties, or your natural right to free speech, not First Amendment liberty, but your liberties that are expressed within the First Amendment, your natural rights expressed there in the First Amendment. We don't have that discussion because we're all whipped up. We've all been driven to pick sides. You know, I'm waving the blue and white flag. I'm waving the other flag, and, you know, we're for these, and we're against the Zionist, or, you know, we're for Israel, you know, either side. So every side has some, you know, has picked a team. It's how your liberty gets destroyed, folks. It's how your liberty gets destroyed. So, you know, fire away, put your comments. JC's an anti-Semite, blah, 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 whatever, which I'm not, nor is Massey. At least I haven't seen evidence that he is that. This is a free speech issue. This is a freedom of expression issue. And you start making these big resolutions and throw everything in there but the kitchen sink, you're going to have problems. It's like all the crap that they sneak into the NDAA. And, you know, we got to support the troops and then stick this in there. We got to support Israel. And you stick all this stuff in there, things that set a precedent start telling you what you can say, what you can talk about, what you can think. So good for Thomas Massie. And if you're a rah-rah conservative and you can't understand that, I don't know what to tell you. I can't help you. You're going to be one of the ones that just go along, get whipped up, and let them chew up your liberties bit by bit. And you won't have noticed. You're all pissed off now at the Palestinians, and you look back and wonder where your right to freedom of speech went. Well, because you were so pissed, and you thought it was good that they do whatever it takes to stop Hamas. Should we stop Hamas? Yeah, absolutely. Should we do whatever it takes? Well, does whatever it takes include removing your right to free speech? Is that included in whatever it takes? That's the kind of judgment you have to make. So, dangerous times, folks. When you see chaos, when you see wars, rumors of wars, when you see all this emotional stuff going on, these are the most dangerous times, because that's when they're going to target your liberty. That's what happens. So somebody should wake up before it's too late. Somebody should stop just picking tribes and running like a mad dog, cheering for your team, your favorite candidate, the latest political messiah. I'm so pro Trump that whatever it takes. I'm so pro DeSantis that whatever it takes. I'm so anti-Hamas that whatever it takes. I stand with Israel, so whatever it takes. I support Palestine, whatever it takes. That's how they get us. We surrender whatever it takes. We'll surrender whatever it takes. Whatever it takes is whatever they ask for. Whatever it takes, that's whatever they demand. Whatever it takes, whatever they say, you have to give up. Whatever it takes, whatever they say, you can't talk about. Whatever it takes, whatever they told you, you can't say. And then you watch, they're going to drum Thomas Massie out of Congress. Because he's one man that has testicles. Unreal. So, what hope do you have in the GOP? What hope do you have in politicians and political zealots? What hope do you have in tribal sycophants? GOP, Democrats, all these tribes. Everybody's in their tribes. What about liberty? Who's focused on liberty? Oh, we're too busy cheering our guy. Too busy cheering our tribes. Yep. That's how you're going to lose your liberty. You'll be full on your guy, full on your tribe, up until the point you're in shackles. That's where you'll be. I support Putin. I support Russia. I support Ukraine. I support Zelensky. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. We got to defeat these guys. We got to defeat the left. We got to defeat. And all your overlords are looking out, watching how whipped up you are and how blindly you're going to follow them. And they got you right where they want you. That's how it works, guys. That's how it works. Turn your brains on. Unreal. Well, don't forget, go to chrisanhall.com. Check out the shop. You can find our coffee. The coffee we have is we go around and try to train our sheriffs and deputies, so we don't end up with a guy like Chronister that we have in Hillsborough. It's crazy. The one place, can't get our guy to listen. And so we'll keep pushing until we get this guy out of there. But anyway, we don't normally charge sheriffs and deputies for the training. So we've got fresh coffee beans at chrisanhall.com. You can buy that and support our training for law enforcement. We have trained a lot of sheriffs and deputies that do listen and that have taken a stand across the country, many in New Mexico and Texas. Some that we've seen stand up have been trainees under Chris Ann Hall, and they've gotten the sheriff trained. So it has made a difference. It has made a difference in a lot of places, and we'd love to be able to afford to make a difference in every place. And this helps fund our endeavor to do that. So if every one of you would go buy a bag of coffee or get the twofer deal, buy some of that coffee before Christmas, then that would help us. That would help us keep going. And then don't forget, we got the DVDs there. The Sheriff, a documentary, award-winning documentary, The Sheriff, and the first documentary, Noncompliant, is there. And we got several other DVDs that are some of the courses on Liberty First Society. Some of you are students and subscribers to Liberty First Society. Then we have the books there, Sovereign Duty, great book to get. $10 right there, man. $10, that's cheap. And then we have some T-shirts you can get in the shop, lots of cool T-shirts. I love, people love this guy, Liberty, the Liberty Addict T-shirt is great. People love that. And then I like this guy right here. I wear this all the time. People with ARs don't get in cattle cars. I got that one that I wear around quite a bit. So, chrisanhall.com. Check out the shop, shop.chrisanhall.com. And lots of good stuff there. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Like I said, we'll be going live Saturdays from here forward at 11 a.m. every Saturday. You can see the show. I'll be doing some shows throughout the week as time permits. But you can count on us being there Saturdays, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check us out. God, Guns, Liberty Podcast at chrisanhall.com. Go to chrisanhall.com. And in addition to the shop, you can go there and find right here, you see podcast on the menu to your left. If you click podcast, that'll take you here, and you can see the Chris Ann Hall Show is there. Dangerous Info Podcast, our friend Jesse James is there, and you can check that show out. And then I'm going to be adding a section of the God, Guns, Liberty Podcast separately on the website, and so you can listen until your heart's content. All right, God bless you guys. I'm JC Hall, God, Guns, Liberty Podcast. Appreciate you tuning in. See you next time.
You're listening to the God, Guns, Liberty Podcast with JC Hall.